From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, August 17th. I'm Abby Larico. Today, what's next in the SLPS school closures plan process, how old dogs are getting a little new attention, and it seems like everything about food is getting more expensive, and that includes the equipment farmers use.
We have a budget. We have to live with them.
How they're living with that by more often fixing decades-old equipment, coming up on The Gateway. Parents and staff interested in learning more about a plan to consolidate schools in St. Louis have another opportunity to hear from the school district tonight. As STLPR's Hiba Ahmed reports, St. Louis Public Schools is holding a community meeting at Carr Lane Middle School at 5:30 to discuss future closures.
District officials plan to share feedback gathered from parents earlier this summer. Parents have voiced concerns about safety and operations for some of the proposed consolidated schools. They've demanded more clarity around why certain schools are slated for closure, though the district has not released a finalized list. Superintendent Myra Berry announced last week the district was considering adopting a model that would maintain some of the district's elementary, middle, and high schools. The model would consolidate some buildings into schools that serve pre-kindergarten through 8th grade students and maintain some of the district's magnet schools focused on STEM. The district will bring its final recommendation to the school board in October. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Early childhood advocates in the St. Louis area are urging people to pay attention as the Trump administration puts forward major changes to Head Start. The proposed new rules aim to remove many standardized requirements for the early childhood and anti-poverty program, and the administration says cutting down on so-called compliance-driven activities would save money. It also argues that shifting decisions about standards like student-teacher ratios back to the states can make the programs more responsive, and that changes would ultimately make room to serve more families. Critics, though, say it's the first step in dismantling the program. Stacey Johnson is the Chief Early Education Officer and Director of Head Start at YWCA, the largest nonprofit administrator of the program in the St. Louis Metro. She says they're trying to keep an open mind.
We are in favor of change as long as there's no negative impact. We want to make sure that they continue to receive that high quality care and education.
Local collaboration is an important part of the operation, says Johnson, and she hopes community partners weigh in during the public comment period that's now open.
The ability to provide childcare in your state, in your city, has an economic impact. And so it's not just simple, you know, people can't go to work if there's no childcare.
The program has received mostly bipartisan federal support since its inception in 1965. Locally, more than 1,000 kids are currently in Head Start programs in St. Louis. The full proposed rule changes and a link to provide comment are at stlpr.org. A nonprofit animal shelter aims to use a $25,000 grant to help families care for their senior pets. As St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Windley reports, some families struggle to pay veterinary bills as their pets age.
The Animal Protective Association of Missouri plans to use the money to keep pets in their homes. That means fewer pets entering shelters, too. Sarah Javier is the president and CEO of APA Missouri.
We'll be able to provide more vaccinations. We'll be able to provide veterinary financial assistance. Should a pet owner find that their pet has an urgent quality of life need, we will help them.
Javier says 1 in 4 pets seen at the APA's vaccine clinics are senior dogs. She says the funding will also expand existing pet support programs, including food assistance. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
And in case you missed it, when the Cardinals were in Chicago to play the Cubs this weekend, rookie Joshua Baez made history, homering thrice in his major league debut. First, with the very first major league pitch ever thrown his way, launching it into the crowd at Wrigley Field. Then doing it again and again. Yes, 3 homers in his first 3 at-bats as a St. Louis Cardinal, as a Major League Baseball player. It is being called the best Major League career start ever. Farming is expensive. And this year, it's gotten even pricier with the rising cost of fertilizer and fuel. Equipment prices have also reached historic highs. That's why many farmers are choosing to fix their old tractors and combines instead of buying new. Harvest Public Media's Emma George Griffin has this story.
If you visit Kellogg Family Farms in central Michigan, you'll see hundreds of acres of soybeans, century-old barns, and piles of old machinery.
Some of the equipment we'll never use again.
That's Dennis Kellogg, the sixth-generation owner of Kellogg Farms.
But it's amazing how if I need a part or something that's similar that'll work on even a different brand, I'm able to go and find something that'll work.
Kellogg likes working on older equipment. He says it's easier and cheaper to repair machinery that's not computerized. But in recent years, it's become more of a necessity. Kellogg and other farmers are coping with a tighter farm economy. With trade uncertainty and rising costs, producers don't have much more to spend on machines that can cost upwards of $1 million. Farm equipment sales have declined by more than 20% this year, according to data from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Drew Kinsey is an agriculture research analyst at the University of Missouri. While he says more farmers are now relying on old equipment, it's been a trend for years.
We go back 50 plus years ago, then it was much more common for you know, every farm up and down the road to have new equipment.
He says until the late 90s, technological advancements made older machines obsolete. Now, Kinsey says even decades-old machines have the bare-bone capabilities to get the job done. Plus, he says new technology can even be installed in older equipment.
It's really been pretty revolutionary in the last 20 years as far as, you know, enabling farms to have older equipment still be competitive with the latest and greatest.
In Paducah, Kentucky, Donnie Edwards and his son have a repair shop on their 2,000-acre farm. That's especially handy since Edwards says new equipment is just too costly right now.
It's a tough pill to swallow. Well, you need to spend another $100,000 on computerized stuff for your combine, tractor, sprayer, everything that goes with it. But you're not going to make all that much more money.
Edward says he taught his son to repair equipment, knowing it's becoming almost a survival skill in farming. But by forgoing new technology, farmers may lose out on efficiency. That's according to Doug Hauser, who specializes in digital agriculture at Iowa State University. He says farmers have to be extremely intentional when deciding what services and equipment are worth investing in.
A lot of farmers right now are stepping back and trying to figure out their equipment plans, whether it's more maintenance or if it's time to trade into maybe not new paint, but maybe some used updated equipment.
Some farmers are sidestepping big purchases like combines by hiring out part of their work. Laura Hafner harvests grain for farmers from Texas to North Dakota. She says it can be a cheaper alternative for farmers who don't want to repair or pay for costly upgrades.
Oftentimes, farmers only engage in harvesting for a short period of time. While they might use it for several weeks or maybe a month, the rest of that year, that equipment's going to sit in the shed or in the lot, not doing anything. It's not making money.
The service is a good option for some farmers, but it doesn't work for everyone. For many farmers, mending their old equipment is one way to stay afloat for now, until the farm economy improves. I'm Emma George Griffin, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including STLPR. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway. Have a great Monday.